Well, if you could open your Bibles with me up to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. While you're turning to there, did just want to make an announcement that this Wednesday coming up, 3 days from today, we will have our Thanksgiving Eve service. It will be our praise night and communion time for the month of November. And so we'll be coming together, and we don't wait for one particular day of the year to be thankful or to give God praise, but nevertheless, we see it as yet another opportunity, as we should every day, to give God thanks. But we will have that. It'll be at 7 o'clock. We'll have a time of fellowship after as well, but just wanted to make all of you aware of that. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, you know, as I shared the last time I was at offertory with you, I've been thinking through different passages that the Lord has just caused to mean a lot to me through the years, both as a pastor and even in time leading up to that. And one of them that had been on my heart here recently, and, you know, sometimes you have a particular passage and the Lord just keeps bringing you back to that over and over again. And this was one that was on my heart this past week, and then sure enough, it was probably 4 or 5 times I found myself back in this passage with different ones and different situations. And I said, okay, Lord, you're wanting me to key in on this. And in chapter 2 and in verse 13, if we could drop down to there, it says, for this reason, we also constantly thank God. This is Paul writing to the church in Thessalonica. And he says, you received the word of God, which you heard from us. You accepted it not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe. I wanted to just back up for a second. If you see that word received there near the beginning of the verse, the word received is not just, okay, you go through and somebody just hands you something and you take it and you kind of set it off to the side and don't worry about it. The word received is to take with you, to join together, to become a companion with. Well, that takes on a whole different meaning when we begin to consider the context of the passage. How do we begin to view the Word of God? Do we view it as something that's just another book, as just maybe another list of suggestions, or is it something we go, I actually want this to be a part of my life? And Paul begins to say that he's giving praise to God because this is how they began to view the Word of God. Receive it, you want to begin to take it to be a part of your life. And he makes a comparison. He goes, you accept it not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God. You know, I think about that comparison, and a number of years back, I was working in the car industry, and I had some different mechanics that worked for me. And, you know, sure enough, it seemed like every year I had to send them off to get more training because the recommendations of working on the vehicles had changed. There was different methods, different practices. I go, didn't they say that it worked great the last time? What changed? And, you know, that's what the word of men begins to do, is it's fickle. It changes. Maybe you got a cell phone and it was the latest and greatest, and the next thing they tell you, well, you really need this. And it begins to come out and it's completely different. He goes, but the other thing about the word of men is we almost kind of take it and go, I could take it or I could leave it. You know, it's kind of a suggestion. But the word of God and from him. You think of that great passage there in 2 Timothy chapter 3, just breathed right out of God. And it's actually not only good in the sense of beneficial in our life, but it's virtuous. It's unchanging. It's actually what you and I really, really need. And that's because that's who our God is. So it's the word that's from him and it's of him. And do we view God's word in that way? Do we view it as not just merely another suggestion in the suggestion box of our life, or is it actually something that is beneficial in our life, is actually good for us, that God is giving us the things that he's giving us because he knows what we need today? And it tells us at the end of the passage, it performs its work in you who believe. That word perform, hopefully I don't mess up the pronunciation, but it's energeho would be the word, and it's where we get our word energy. And so it's that which is going to begin to give you energy or begin to activate us. And I can't tell you how many times God will begin to bring something about in his word, and the Spirit of Christ will just begin to pierce in my heart, and I'll go, I've got to do this. Maybe I've been doing it the wrong way. Maybe I hadn't seen it quite that way before. Something I didn't realize about what God had called us to do. But it says, you who begin to believe, which we know that word not only is just some sort of a head acknowledgement, because even the demons believe and shudder, but it is that which is going to be a desire to love God, to obey, to want to begin to have confidence in what he's telling us to do. I can't begin to separate this. If you were to go back with me into chapter 1, the very heart that that Paul was hearing and was sounding forth from this church in Thessalonica, the very heart that had begun to come into them that caused them to begin to receive what God was telling them in this way. And so if you back up with me into verse 8 of chapter 1, it says, "For the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you." So there's actually a testimony beginning to come, a witness, and it's actually as if the word of God is being lived out in you. It says, "Not only in Macedonia and Achaia," which we know is really those immediate surrounding areas there, "but also in every place your faith towards God has gone forth, so that we have no need to say anything," because it's actually been real in your life. It's actually been lived out. "For they themselves report about us what kind of a reception we had with you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God." There's a lot of things we begin to attribute to that word idols, but if I could just try to simplify it for us in a sense, those things that perhaps we've begun to love, those things perhaps we've begun to place ahead of God in some way, what would go hand in hand with that is perhaps things that we thought at one point would begin to bring joy into our life, begin to make us happy, begin to fulfill some hole in there. In our pride, we begin to think this is what we need in our life. He says, you began to set those things to the wayside. You began to let go of those things. And he says, you began to serve a living and a true God. Now, I want to take just a moment with this word serve, because we can think of it in all different sorts of ways, but this is just has become one of, I would say, my favorite words in Scripture. You might recognize it in a different way. It is the word, comes from the root word doulos, which is where we get the word bondservant in Scripture. Let me define it for you. A bondservant is one who gives himself up to another's will to serve and extend the cause of Christ. It is also one who is devoted to another to the disregard of one's own interests. We might more simply begin to say, we're all in these things. One of the things that began to really just strike me about this is the heart and the witness that had begun to come from this body of believers. That it wasn't merely just going through, you know, the motions or learning every verse and memorizing the Scripture. It had become real in their life to such a point in which those things that maybe at one point they thought were going to bring some sense of happiness or fulfillment in their life, they began to go, we would rather set this to the side, lay aside our own interests, because there's one who loves us and we just want to be our whole heart in for him. And you begin to piece this together and you go, do you want the word of God to begin to activate and do a work in your life and begin to see the fruit that begins to come from just walking in his spirit? We've got to be willing to take those idols and begin to throw them to the side and go, any of those things that maybe had taken my affections, had caused me to put anything above you, God, that I want to put it to the side and I want to be all in with you. And he begins to go, this is a testimony. You want to talk about being a light, and a testimony begins to come, and they go, word is sounding forth. You let go of those other affections, and you just put all your affections fixed on God. Whatever he began to say, you can understand then, if that's the heart, God's word says something, and you go, I just want to do it. It's from him. Why wouldn't I want to do it? It's who he is. He loves me. He knows what's best for me. I just want to follow what he says. And there begins to be power in that. And he goes, we don't even have to say anything because it's so evident in your life. My encouragement to us is how do we begin to view the word of God and the things that this world has that can begin to come in and steal our affections away. If we'll just throw those to the side and go, God, I just want to be with you. Whatever you say, I trust it's going to be right. And I just want my devotion in my heart to be solely on you. And I believe, God, you'll do a work in my life through that. There is actual power that you'll begin to bring in through your word in my life because you know what's good for me. And if we'll approach God and we'll approach his word in that way, what would he begin to withhold that's good for us? And we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come before you today, Lord, you know us more than even we know ourselves. You know what we need. You know what we need to begin to experience in our lives. Lord, you've rescued us from all of those things that we at one time thought were going to be good for our lives. Those pursuits and affections that began to run our lives, Lord, you've rescued us from that. Lord, may we not allow those things to begin to come in and cloud our vision, to cause us to begin to back away from just a devotion to you. Lord, I thank you for the simplicity of your word. I thank you for your love for us, that you would bring things into our lives that, as I think of this church in Thessalonica, many trials and difficulties that they encountered at this time, Lord, you know what we need. And you many times bring these things in with a desire to rescue, a desire to bring us back from, Lord, a direction that we don't want to go. So, Lord, I thank you for your word and that we can trust the things that you tell us. They're not going to change or go through updates because you don't. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, we give you thanks for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen.